Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
La 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 la.
Kermit the Frog, everybody.
That's it. That's all we know. Kermit is green. There is a song called It Ain't Easy Being Green, but we actually didn't know how that song went. And we listened to it and went, I have no idea.
I still don't know this song.
Yeah. Anyway, hello, welcome everyone to another episode of The Command Zone. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. And let's be honest, that if we did sing the song, It's Not Easy Being Green, it would have been disingenuous. Because
false
it is very
lie.
Easy being green, because green is awesome.
Yeah, green is awesome. They got a lot of help in Commander Legends with more partners monocolored for green. So that's what we're breaking down today in our 37-part series on Commander Legends.
We're on like our seventh or eighth video, and we're not even done. We've still got blue, black. We still have the cards in the 99.
The actual 99.
That'll probably be two episodes. There's a lot of coverage for the set still to go. But yeah, today we're talking about the eight monocolored green partner commanders from Commander Legends.
Yes.
If you want to get your hands on any of the cards we're about to talk about, any of the cards we've already talked about, there's so many cool legends. Obeka's my personal favorite so far. How about you?
Nice. I am a big fan of the Mardu enchantments guy.
Gen
that brings them back.
Yeah.
It's just so cool to see Mardu doing more stuff than being attacky.
So if you want to get your hands on any of these cards from Commander Legends, cardkingdom.com/commandzone, that's the place to go. They're going to get you your cards the fastest in the best condition, whether you want sealed product, you want booster boxes, collector's boosters, whatever, or you want to pre-order singles.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely going to be the place to go. Actually, I said pre-order, but I think at the time this video is actually coming out, then you'll just be straight up ordering the cards. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And obviously, there's a lot of demand for Commander Legends as well. So some things might fall out of stock, but they'll also come back in stock. Card Kingdom is like any other store. They, you know, will stock to demand. And if you are demanding it, they're going to stock it. So
yeah. And they stock stuff really fast. So keep checking back if something you want is sold out. Once you get your hands on those cards too, you're going to want to put them into really nice and safe Pro Gloss Eclipse sleeves.
Yes.
Or maybe you want to get your hands on the Commander Legends themed stuff. They've got deck boxes, they've got card sleeves, they've got everything you need to keep all your game pieces as safe as possible. I said because my brain said, did I say Ultra Pro yet? Ultra Pro. They're the sponsor that
you
we're talking
should know
about
at this point.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Ultra Pro, they really are the company that Jimmy and I trust to keep our own collection safe.
Yep.
So we highly recommend them to you.
Yep. And their binders are, I think, my favorite thing recently. I've been into collecting play sets. I haven't gotten cards in quite a while, to be honest, but Commander Legends is changing my mind about that, and I know the exact place I'll put them. Unlike the cards we have on the table, which are unsleeved, don't follow our lead here.
Yeah.
Put them in sleeves. And the last way you can support the show is directly at patreon.com/commandzone. We chat with our patrons on Discord. They get access to game nights and extra turns a day early, which I think the episode will also have been out now for that.
Probably
really
both
fun
of them,
episode. Yeah. So if you wanted to watch those a day early without ads, all you have to do is be a patron, as little as $1 a month. And we also shout out one lucky patron every episode. And this episode is dedicated to
Elijah McGill. Elijah, you rock.
Oh.
All right, without any further ado, let's get into the partner review for green. As with all colors, there are six uncommons, one rare, and one mythic.
Nice.
Yeah. Before we begin, this is a funny note you put in here.
Everything partners with Thrasios. We should have said this from the first couple of episodes, but if you're like, who should I put this partner with?
Thrasios, it turns out, is just very good on its own, so whatever you put it with, it's going to still be good.
Yeah, and I am extremely hopeful that this card gets reprinted soon as well, just because it's very good. So in general, think of these partners as just a way to add green to any of the current existing partners, even if the partner already has green in it. And a lot of times, these will push you in one direction or the other. It's funny because normally the uncommons in the partner cycles might be a little less powerful. Turns out green has no problem with that. Both the rares and the uncommons all have a lot of power.
I think in all the colors so far, we've seen at least a couple of the uncommons be very, very good too. Totally. It's not like they're all noticeable. Like if you just covered up this rarity symbol, you might not know.
Yeah.
You know, if the uncommons are rare or not. If
definitely
you just
a
read
couple.
That text. Yeah. All right. Let's start with the first one. It's Inara, Wolfid Familiar. 3 and a green for a 4/4 wolf beast legendary, of course. As long as it's your turn, commanders you control have indestructible. And it, of course, has the partner mechanic. So commanders you control have indestructible. That would include Inara and then whatever your partner is. One thing I wanted to note right off, because you can partner this with a Planeswalker now because of Tevishot and Jessica.
Right.
Indestructible is a little bit weird with Planeswalkers. If they go to zero loyalty, they'll still die. They'll still go to the graveyard.
Right.
Because it doesn't expressly say in the rules when they hit zero loyalty, destroy them. So
yeah.
Indestructible doesn't save them.
Yeah, indestructible specifically. Effects that say destroy, don't destroy them. A creature with indestructible can't be destroyed by damage.
So like Dreadbore or something that destroys a Planeswalker wouldn't work if Inara is out. But if you just smack it with a creature and bring it to zero loyalty, it will die.
Right, because it's also not a creature, I guess, with indestructible. A planeswalker with indestructible will still have loyalty taken away from it from combat damage.
Yes.
Interesting, but edge case scenario.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about Inara.
Well, I added in a bunch of cards because I was like, Wolf, Beast, Tribal. And Josh was like, well, let's be mean. And the first introductory card to Inara is playing World Slayer, which is a 5-mana artifact equipment with an equip cost of 5. Typically, you don't play this card because the text says whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, destroy all permanents other than World Slayer.
But you won't be destroying your two commanders because...
And World Slayer.
Yeah, because it has indestructible and World Slayer stick around.
Yeah.
That's all permanents. That's lands too.
Well, so. Lands, yeah. It should be called Land Slayer.
My guess is you'll win from that point because you'll have two creatures.
Right.
And your commanders.
And they're both indestructible, and every time they hit something, it blows up all the permanents over and over again. Yeah. So Inara, yeah, it's a great utility partner, I would say, for any partner pairing or just in general if you want to do something that has indestructible. So I think in the 99 of most Voltron decks, this could be a fine addition, right?
It's kind of like Bastion Protector, really. It's the green Bastion
right.
Protector. So if you have white, you were probably already running Bastion Protector, but let's say you either have white and green, because I think you probably run both.
For wolves,
or you have,
especially, yeah.
Yeah, or you have green and not white. Well, then all of a sudden, if it's a Voltron deck, you just put in Inara as if it were your Bastion Protector. It doesn't pump your commander, obviously, but...
Yeah, it's still a 4-mana, just make your thing indestructible, and I think, you know, again, for a lot of players that are getting into the format need an extra slot to protect their commander a little bit, it's a great little addition. Mm-hmm. Also, for a lot of decks that want to do things on your turn, because it says, as long as it's your turn, commanders you control have indestructible. So Vivectus Asmadi the Dire is a commander that cares about attacking, and when it attacks, you choose a permanent a player controls that you're attacking for each player, and then the players sacrifice those permanents, each player sacrifices a permanent, this way reveals the top card of their library, then puts it onto the battlefield if it's a permanent card. So generally when you're swinging with a creature, someone can block it with like a Death Touch Flyer or do something to stop it from hitting in. Inara is just a nice way, again, in these types of decks to make your commander a little more safe.
Yep.
Rurik Thar wants to attack each combat if able. Man, I wish I could just block and kill a Rurik Thar. It has done so much damage to me. Thank you, Game Knights.
Also, it's just the kind of card people want to destroy, right?
Like, yeah, totally.
Please let me destroy it so I can cast my non-creature spells.
Warlord Radha, because she has haste, wants to attack the turn she comes out as well, and again has green. Shalai, Voice of Plenty. So these are just sort of decks that care about it being your turn or giving your creatures or planeswalkers hexproof or indestructible. Inara adds, I think, just another piece onto that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go Beast Tribal, Questing Beast notably is a legendary beast that does not have a name that would denote that it's a legendary creature. So you could do that. And then if you want to go Wolf Tribal, Tosimir, Friend of Wolves, you know, all that good stuff. And of course, there are the fight decks. Fight Tribal has gotten bigger and bigger. There's a couple of cards in today's set review that we'll talk about that. Nyeth of the Dire Hunt. Kogla, just ways Ayula.
The bear one, yeah.
Yeah, just things that want to fight.
Yeah, Indestructible is so good with fight, right? Because you're going to take damage from the creature that you're fighting, but all of a sudden, if your creatures have Indestructible, your commander or whatever, and it can just fight over and over because you don't care about the damage being dealt, it's Indestructible.
And then for each of these, I decide, you know, I'm just going to list down really quickly which of the commanders that it goes with that are both new and which ones that
are... Which of the partners?
Yeah, the new partners, sorry, and the old ones. This one's pretty straightforward. I think Akroma, Vision of Ixidor, is all about attacking, and it likes the Indestructible additional keyword. Malcolm, Keen-Eyed Navigator, is all about dealing combat damage for pirates, and so that's just a way to make him indestructible. Cyane, Eye of the Storm, again, about attacking, breaches, Rogrock, I guess. And so, like we said earlier, there are two Planeswalkers, Jessica and Tavishsot, that are both going to be affected by this, but it doesn't prevent them from going to the graveyard.
I like Falthus, Shadowcat Familiar, which is the one that gives your commanders Death Touch and Menace.
Ooh.
So now all of a sudden, both your commanders have Death Touch, Menace, and Indestructible. Very tough to block because they're going to have to double block and they're going to die because of the Death Touch. And your thing's not going to die because it has Indestructible.
Yep.
So if you can put a World Slayer on one of them, you put them in a real bind.
Yeah.
So also just a Sword of Feast of Hammer or something, you know, obviously.
Right. So I think Inara plays pretty straightforward, but it's a nice addition for the wolves and the beasts of the world. And again, another Bastion Protector, but in another color seems great as well.
I thought Silas Wren is actually a really good fit from the old... Oh, sorry.
Oh,
moving
yes.
on to old partners now. Silas Wren was the first one I thought of because Silas Wren wants to deal combat damage, has Death Touch.
Right.
Right? So all of a sudden, you give it Indestructible, and now you put him in a super big bind because it's like... So a lot of times, you just block Silas Wren, trade with it, and don't let them get the trigger. But
you
now
lose the creature, but yeah.
But so do they, and yeah. It's sort of okay. But now, with the Indestructible, you're like, okay, so I just lose a creature for nothing. So they're going to get the card advantage no matter what. Either they're getting one of my cards, or they're getting the trigger from Silas and getting...
Something out of their graveyard,
one
right.
of their cards back. So it kind of puts them in a real bind. So
not
I
to mention, you're adding blue, green to blue and black.
Yeah, you're adding the best color to the other two best colors.
Sounds good.
So all of a sudden, you're in Sultai, yeah. So it seems like, well, you get all the green ramp and all the green everything.
Yeah, the other old partner along the similar lines of Silas Wren are Akiri, Timna, Tana, Bruce Tarl. All of them want to attack. And so, again, giving it, you know, Indestructible is just a nice cherry on top.
I thought Ashai is actually like a really good one just because of the colors it gives. So it gives you white and blue.
Uh-huh.
So notice that Inara says commanders you control have Indestructible. So if you control magic other people's commanders, they're still commanders.
Right.
So on your turn, those will be Indestructible. And then if you just play like a bunch of Wraths, you could be like, what I'm going to do is steal other people's commanders and then wrath the board during my turn, which will not destroy my stuff and the stuff that I've stolen, but it'll destroy everybody else's stuff. So that's, I think, another sort of good pairing with Inara.
Inara just got real mean, if you want it to be.
That's not super mean. I don't mean like destroy lands. I just mean wrath the creatures.
Less
and stuff.
World
Austere
Slayer.
Command, not Armageddon. Yeah.
Or Wrath of God.
Yeah.
Okay, moving onwards to the next one. It is Galanra, Caller of Wirewood. You can probably guess this is an elf. 2 and a green for a 1/2 legendary elf druid. You can tap it to add green. When you spend this mana to cast a spell to convert mana cost 6 or greater, draw a card, and it has partner. So this is a command dork, as people on the internet have been referring to it. You know, at first I was like, well, elf tribal, but then it's like, this is a 3 mana elf, and elf tribal is not trying to play 6 CMC or higher spells.
Right.
So probably not going in that direction, but what is notable is that when you spend this mana to cast a spell, so any spell, non-creature or whatever, it's just any spell. So a lot of cards on the stack have a different CMC than they do in your hand. For instance, Green Sun Zenith, which is X and a green for a sorcery. Search your library for a green creature card with CMC X or less. Put it on the battlefield and shuffle your library. And then you shuffle Green Sun Zenith into its owner's library. If you cast this for 6 mana or 7 mana, it has a CMC of 7. And if you use Galanra to cast it, then you draw a card off it as well.
Yeah, X spells are great in general because you could cast them for less than 6 if you want to.
Yeah.
Because the downside of having a bunch of 6 CMC stuff is that you're just sitting there doing nothing in the early turns. So X spells kind of help you where it's like, I'll just cast this thing for 3 and get a little value off of it. And then once Galanra's out, I guess 3 was a bad example. but once Galanra's out, then you start casting it for trying to get it for six, so you can get that six, additional value of drawing the card,
Yeah, and so any spells that actually reduce the cost keep the CMC of the spell. The reduction of the cost doesn't affect the CMC. So Gargos, Vicious Watcher makes Hydra spells cast one, four less to cast, so Galanra is good in that deck. Goreclaw as well, creature spells with power four or greater cost two less to cast, doesn't affect their CMC. Galanra will still see it as a six CMC thing.
But you just don't pay that much, yeah.
Yeah, same with Animar, then when Animar, Galanra comes out as a one mana spell that is now good drawing you cards, so it's actually kind of doing a lot of work in that deck. And same things with like Joda as well, because Joda is an alternative casting cost.
Right, but the CMC of the spells remains what it was.
So,
oh boy, Cascade with Maelstrom Wanderer seems
right,
pretty
you're
good.
Casting.
Well, you're not casting the Cascade spells with Galanra, though.
True.
So you wouldn't get the extra two, but casting Maelstrom Wanderer, obviously.
And this is like a big mana deck, so yeah. I think anything, right, even if you draw one of your big Cascade spells, like, darn, this is a 7 CMC spell, well, now you have Galanra to cast it.
Yeah, get that extra value.
I don't think Maelstrom Wanderer needed any extra help. It's in all the colors to do what it needs to do. Same with Animar and all that. But again, these are just new cards to put in, especially if you're a new player and all that. So it's just easier to sort of get into that pattern of like, cool, I can make a deck that works and synergizes with itself.
Yeah. You have Karuga down here, who is one of the companions that cares about larger CMC stuff, right?
Or yeah, you can only have him as your companion if you have spells that are CMC 3 or greater in land cards.
Also, so, you can just still have it in your deck, though.
Yeah, totally. And because when it enters the battlefield, you draw a card for each other permanent you control a CMC 3 or greater. So again, it's just sort of like a big mana deck. In this case, if you're playing with Karuga, it's blue-green. Josh noted Imodi, Celebrant of Bounty, which is a new legendary creature from...
It's one of the solo legendaries from Commander Legends.
Yes, and it just is a 5 mana with a Cascade, and then spells you cast with converted mana cost 6 or greater have Cascade.
So you're already going to want to cast 6 or greater spells in the Imodi deck, so
right.
Galanra probably goes in there, but also if you happen to pair with the right colors, it's just blue, right?
Yep.
With Galanra, then Imodi could go in that deck. But I also just think the philosophy of Imodi that we went over when we did our set review kind of works with Galanra, right? You touched on it with the X spells, but spells that have a higher CMC than what you're actually going to pay for it.
Right.
So it's like Delve stuff, Treasure Cruise, Dig Through Time, right? They say 8 in the corner, but you really only pay 1 or 2. Then you've got... The Undaunted mechanic. So if you pair with black, you could get Curtain's Call, which is 5 and a black for an instant that says destroy 2 target creatures, but it has Undaunted, so the spell costs 1 less to cast for each opponent. So you can often cast it for only 3, but it counts as a 6 CMC spell, so that makes it a lot easier for Galanra to cast and draw your
Dig
card.
That, yep.
Yep. There's
Seeds of Renewal is the same thing. You can return 2 target cards from your graveyard to your hand. Normally it costs 7 mana, 6 in the green, but that could be down for 3 thanks to Undaunted, so that's pretty good rate. 4 mana, 2 cards.
Yep. And then Untappers could be good with Galanra. I mean, obviously like Seedborn Muse, but anything that could untap Galanra can draw you multiple cards because you untap it.
Right.
Like even like a Cure's Follower, which could early in the game get you extra mana, but later just untap Galanra to cast your second spell also with her, especially if you're doing like Curtain's Call. So you pay 3 there and 3 there, but they're actually 2 6 CMCB spells. Draw 2 cards extra with Galanra because you untapped her.
Ooh,
that kind of stuff could be good too, I think.
Yeah, Galanra just seems like a way to generate a lot of value. Now, when it comes to the partners, the new partners, the one that is most notable is Brynlyn, the Moon Kraken, which is 6 blue-blue for a 6/8, and when it enters the battlefield or whenever you cast a spell with CMC 6 or greater, you may return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. So those two sort of seem like a nice match made in heaven. You're bouncing stuff as well as drawing cards as long as you're using Galanra to cast it.
Could even bounce your own stuff to cast it again to draw cards.
Yeah, in that case, you definitely want the untappers to make sure Galanra can tap again to add that mana.
And I think it's clear the blue-green draft mechanic or draft archetype for Commander Legends is 6 CMC or greater spells, right?
Right.
So there's going to probably be a bunch of cards in Commander Legends that fit this theme.
Yep. Miara, Throne of the Glade is the mono black elf partner. So if you're going the elf style with this, there's Elaina, Kessig Trapper.
Oh, yeah,
which
this is a good one.
Yeah, it's the first striker that adds amount of red mana equal to the greatest power among creatures you control that enter the battlefield this turn. So Galanra obviously is powering out a huge thing. Elaina adds extra mana. Now you're off to the races.
Yep.
Galanra also can just help ramp out Akroma, Vision of Ixidor.
Yep.
So, and then Dargo as well, who is a 7 mana commander.
But you won't pay that. So
yeah,
he kind of fits the same philosophy as the Imodi stuff.
Yeah. So interesting stuff there. Decent card. I think it will see some play here and there. But if anything, I'm just interested to see how these cards sort of add into the ecosystem of Commander, because all of these commanders are, again, opening up tons of spaces now for just adding green to a partner pairing.
All right, the next one is Halana Kessig Ranger. 3 and a green for a 3/4 human archer, legendary. Has reach, as most archers do. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 2. If you do, that creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature. Ooh. This is a punch, not a fight.
Yeah, it's a one-sided fight. You're paying 2 mana. It's not the creatures are not hitting each other. Your creature is just doing its damage to the other one, kind of like a bow and arrow, maybe. Like you're firing an arrow, but with their power. So there's a lot of this. Again, fight tribal or just punch tribal. Grothama, all-devouring, is a really fun commander. It's 3 green-green for a 10/8. Other creatures have, whenever this creature attacks, you may have it fight Grothama. And when Grothama leaves the battlefield, each player draws cards equal to the amount of damage dealt to Grothama this turn by sources they controlled. So obviously, you're going to be in the deck that, you know, wants to deal Grothama damage. And Halana is a way to do that without actually having to have other creatures fighting to attack it, if that makes sense. Like Halana can have a creature enter the battlefield, you pay 2, it smacks Grothama for an amount of damage.
Oh, I was just reading that. So Grothama can punch himself?
Yes, Grothama could punch himself.
Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, that means not Halana.
Yes.
You may pay 2. When you do, that creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature. Yeah, I believe you could just have Grothama enter the battlefield, pay 2, and just draw 10 cards.
Yep, because Grothama is a source that you controlled. So Grothama just becomes a 7-mana draw 10. Pretty
cool. Which is like, you know, you probably don't do that that often because it's still a lot of mana to draw 10. But still, it's something you could do. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it just gives you more flexibility too, because sometimes the Grothama deck wants to sack it and not have creatures go to combat to fight it, right? Because sometimes the creatures fighting it almost always die because it's a 10/8. So
yeah.
It's like a 2/2 that fights it. So this Halana is a way to have a creature fight it without it dying. And then you can sack Grothama to draw those cards later on. Mm. Again, Nyeth of the Dire Hunt is all about the attacky.
Fighting.
Yeah. In the 99, I think Atla Pilani Nest Tender, because this is creating these little 8 creature tokens, and then you can have other creatures fight it when they come into the battlefield. And when those eggs die, you reveal cards from the top of your library to reveal a creature card, and it goes on the battlefield, and then you can trigger Halana again.
That's
to have that
cool. So you fight your own egg, it becomes something big, and then the big thing that comes out fights one of their things.
Yeah, it's like well, it's one of those nature versus nurture moments. It's just like it's been fighting since the day it was born. It'll keep fighting till the day it dies.
There's also a bunch of cards here that help you fight or punch better. So Brash Taunter, this is a card we talk about a lot. This card is very, very good. Every time I've seen it out, it's just done a tremendous amount of work. It's 4 and a red for a 1/1 goblin with indestructible. Whenever it is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to target opponent. And you can pay 2 and a red, tap the Brash Taunter, and it fights another target creature. So if anybody's got anything big out, you can have it, and it can be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can have it hit that thing and then redirect that damage
to an opponent
because it got indestructible. It also just stops so many attacks. Like Brash Taunter, it hits the field and so often you're just like, ah, crap.
I can't attack it.
What am I going to do? Yeah, exactly. And I also don't want my big creatures because they're going to use that against me now.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's similar to Stuffy Doll. However, Stuffy Doll makes you choose a player when it enters the battlefield. So Brash Taunter is a lot more flexible in red, and green and red seem like great pairings for Halana and the fight type archetype.
Mm-hmm,
And then, of course, you can give your creatures Death Touch. So there's a few cards that do this now.
You have to have it so that it's global Death Touch, right? Because you don't have time to equip to them.
Yeah.
Because this is an ETB trigger on Halana.
Correct. Yeah, you can't have it enter the battlefield, smack an equipment on it, unless you have like a Sigarda's Aid type deck. But that's a lot of hoops to jump through for Halana.
I think there's enough cards that just say your creatures have Death Touch, right?
Yeah, Zagras is a black and a red one from Zendikar Rising. And then Archetype of Finality is an enchantment creature that does the same thing from Theros. And then you have a lot of spells like Ready and Willing that are great in token decks that give your creatures indestructible. Or you can fuse it to give your creatures Death Touch and Lifelink until end of turn as well. So you can kind of like combo some stuff off here. That's a bit less advantageous because you're using an instant. You're much better off using sort of like the enchantments that give creatures you control Death Touch.
Right, because otherwise you gotta have the 2 mana for Halana, whatever the mana cost for the creature spell, and extra mana left over for Ready and Willing. Yeah, that's kind of tough. I thought Teemer Sabertooth would be pretty good in this deck because bouncing your own creature back so you can replay it fight something else could turn into
right.
A great way to just, if you're out of gas or don't have a big enough creature, you can sort of reuse one you've already got. Godzilla, King of Monsters. Gojira!
or Zalortha, Strength Incarnate. Three red, green for a 7/3 with trample. Lethal damage dealt to creatures you control is determined by their power rather than their toughness.
Because in general, I think this deck with Helana is probably, especially if she's at the helm with another partner, is probably going to have a bunch of high power, low toughness things, because those tend to be cheaper CMC-wise. You can oftentimes get like a 5/2 for 3 mana. That's going to deal 5 damage to something, because it's not a fight, it's a punch. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden Godzilla means that that thing's basically a 5/5
for all intents and purposes. So they can't die, right.
So it makes it harder for it to die in other ways when you're in combat. And
ooh,
like that.
I like cards that sort of had that cross synergy going.
It's like reverse Doran, right?
Yeah.
Inverse Doran. I don't know how to say it.
Obviously, for the new partners, Helana pairs very well with Elena, Kesig Trapper, because they were, you know, they were actually previewed together, I believe, and they look very similar.
Have to be like sisters or something.
Yeah, Helana and I have a bond that'll never be broken. However, Helana does not have enough room for flavor text, so we have no idea how she feels about that.
She's like, Elena is slightly annoying, but I'm not going to tell her.
I'm looking away from her in the art, but she's still looking at me.
That's true. Yeah. Unless, no, you could switch them.
Oh, that's
you just don't know who's on the left and who's on the right.
Yeah, it's one of those classic sibling rivalries.
you know a little bit about that?
Yeah, quite a bit. And then, of course, Kodama, I think, is another interesting pairing with this, who we'll talk about later on this episode, because Kodama's putting out extra permanents every time you put a permanent on the battlefield, so that'll trigger Helana as well. But that's just mono green beats.
Yeah.
For the old partners, Silas Wren seems great. He's got Death Touch, comes out, immediately drops and hits someone for that. Timna the Weaver is always looking to get blockers out of the way, and Bruce Tarl and Akiri, of course, care about attacking. So,
yeah, I like what you said about Silas there. I think another thing we didn't touch on, but the deck probably just wants creatures that already have death touch. Right. Like, because if it's a 1/1 with death touch, it's actually pretty good, because that's a kill spell and something that's going to sit there and make it hard to attack you. I think Elena is probably the best pairing, though, right? Because if you're playing a 3-mana 5/2, then that's awesome with Elena, because she taps and now gives you 5 mana. She's the one, sorry if you don't remember, it's 4 and a red for a 4/3. You tap her and add red to your mana pool equal to the greatest power among creatures you control that entered the battlefield this turn. So she can actually pay for the fight, too.
Yep, and you might have some extra left over.
Yeah, because when the punch trigger goes on the stack for Helana, that creature is on the battlefield, so Elena can now see it and say, oh, I see, I'm going to add 5 red. 2 of that will go towards paying for this punch thing.
The arrow goes, knocks, and it murders someone.
All right. The next green partner is Ichtekik, Salvage Splicer.
Ichtekik.
Did I say it?
I have no idea.
Ichtekik. Salvage. I have no idea. 4 and a green for a 1/1. 5 mana 1/1. Human Artificer, legendary creature. When it enters the battlefield, you create a 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature token. This is what we see splicers usually do. Mm-hmm. Whenever an artifact is put into your graveyard, it's put into a graveyard from the battlefield. So any artifact goes to the graveyard from the battlefield for anybody. You put a 1/1 counter on Ichtekik and a +1/+1 counter on each golem you control. So golem tribal in green and whatever colors you partner pair this with.
Yeah, so we noted that it's probably good to pair this with white, because when you sacrifice treasure tokens or food tokens, it is also going to trigger ick.
It's the first time anyone's ever said those words. This is good to pair with white.
Good to pair with white, right? So yes.
White and something else, right? Like white and blue, maybe, Ishai, or white and...
Yeah, white and then another color that's not white, please. Bane of Progress seems really good in this deck, because you're destroying all artifacts or enchantments. Yep. However, it doesn't get rid of it to kick.
But it gets rid of the golems.
Yeah, it gets rid of the golems.
It's not quite as good.
Ideally, you're doing something else with the golems at that point. But again, you're making tokens, so you got your Parallel Lives, Doubling Season, Anointed Procession.
Can I interest you in a Cathar's Crusade?
Yeah,
how
you could.
About maybe a, what's the other one? Divine Visitation.
Divine Visitation. Ooh, very
just
nice.
Make 4/4 angels instead of golems.
Big shout out to Gingerbrute, which also happens to be a golem. Who would have thought? I thought it was a gingerbread, but it's a food golem. And you can also sacrifice a Gingerbrute to, you know, trigger IT. I think you're playing this in a Scrap Trawler type deck as well, because you know, you're throwing things in the graveyard.
Artifacts.
Yeah, Artifactocrats. Except this time you're making really big golems. And of course, so if you're playing the Splicers, this is obviously the best synergy, because a card like Vital Splicer, 3 green for a 1/1, when it enters the battlefield, you create a 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature token. And then these are sort of, they act like slivers almost.
They're golem lords, right?
Yeah, golem lords. You can pay 1 to regenerate a golem with Vital Splicer. Golem creatures have Trample if you're playing Maul Splicer. If you have Master Splicer in white, Golems get +1/+1. Blade Splicer, Golems have First Strike. So Golem Lords, Slivers, it's a similar world if you want to go
probably
into
play
that.
Like Precursor Golem and all the other Golem cards too.
Yeah. If you somehow get this into a 5-color shell, I feel like Brea is very good with this because you can sacrifice artifacts all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have Gray.
You have to be in Chromat, obviously.
Yeah. A card that is also great with this, probably Yarok the Desecrated.
Get two Golems.
Get lots of, lots of permanents entering the battlefield, get more Golems and stuff. Emile the Blessed, a Flicker deck, seems pretty good with all of the Splicers as well. You get to Flicker them, get a bunch of triggers off of that. From Commander Legends, there's a new card called Phyrexian Triniform, which is a 9-mana 9-9 Golem, but it has Encore. When it dies, you create 3/3 colorless Golem artifact creature tokens. So
you Encore it out, and then you'll get 9 Golems when you sacrifice it at the end of the Encore? Is that right?
If there's 4 players. Yes, and then you're also going to get the trigger off whenever it dies after the Encore, because you're sacrificing this at the end of the next step. Encore is an ability where you pay an extra amount of mana.
You get three golems, you get the 1/1 counters on all the Golems that you just got with it because it died, and then you Encore it out and you get like another 9 Golems, which all get counters because the thing died. Does that work that way? Can you stack the triggers that way? I don't know. Let's assume for now that you can, but if I'm wrong, whatever, just type in the comments. It's fine.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's going to be some combo stuff to do here. So cards like Foundry Inspector that say artifact spells you cast cost 1 less to cast means that we can go infinite! Because you have a card called Arcbound Reclaimer. This is a 4-mana artifact creature Golem. And you can remove a 1/1 counter from it to put target artifact from your graveyard on top of your library, and it has modular 2, so it enters the battlefield with 2 1/1 counters on it, and when it dies you can put its counters on another creature. So this is on the battlefield. You can put at instant speed an artifact card from your graveyard on top of your library. So if you have cards like the Eggs, this is where the Eggs comes from, like Darkwater Egg. It's a 1-mana artifact. You can pay 2 to tap it, sacrifice it, add blue black, draw a card. The draw card is really important here because the Darkwater Egg is now going to cost 0 thanks to the Foundry Inspector. And you have an ability that you can pay 2 to tap it and sacrifice it. You get the mana back and you draw a card. So you sacrifice this. Ikta Kick is going to trigger. You're going to put +1/+1 counters on things. And then when it's in the graveyard, you can use the Arcbound Reclaimer to put it on top of your library before the draw card. You're holding priority here. And so you put it back on and you can draw it, and then you can play it for 0 again. And you can repeat this added.
Because of the 1 counters keep going back on the whatever it's called, the Arcbound Reclaimer. You're just continuously doing that.
Yeah, and so you can get infinite 1/1 counters on something.
It's Eggs, everybody. It's Eggs. And it's, I got called eggs. Mean for talking about World Slayer.
Yeah, this is the one where you're going like, I'm going to do all this stuff and no one can do anything.
And it's just like, yeah, but how do you win with this?
Yeah.
There are definitely ways.
Yeah, Chromatic Star is another one that can do it, that you get to add a mana and a color when you sacrifice it. Or you can even just sacrifice it to a like Krark Clan Ironworks. Mm-hmm. And again, they all say draw a card when they get in there. There's cards like Mystic Forge, which is really good in this deck, I think. It's a 4-mana artifact. You may look at the top card of your library and you can cast artifacts and colorless spells from the top of your library. And then you can pair that up with like a Lotus Petal. It's a 0-mana artifact that adds 1 mana of any color. So again, the big thing here is the Arcbound Reclaimer. And then, you know, you just get infinite +1/+1 counters. You can get infinite enter the battlefield type things. I don't know. There's lots you can do here.
I'm so happy that of all the colors, green finally gets the opportunity to play around with the artifacts, our Artifactocrats style deck. Because you know what? Green just can't do enough stuff. So we got an equipment deck earlier this year. Now green is just going to be one of the Artifactocrats colors. Like, poor green. They can't do anything. I'm so glad they keep giving them more stuff that they're allowed to do.
Finally, they can play with artifacts.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Playing with lands was getting boring.
Yeah, thank God they just, you know, every excuse for everything that they might put in white is that it's outside their color pie. But green, artifact tech, fine, let's do that.
Yeah, we've had splashes before.
Yeah.
And then, of course, finally, you can play XX artifact creatures like Walking Bliss to Hangerback Walker. If you want to just play it for 0, it automatically goes to the graveyard, and you get a trigger that way.
Yay.
So
the partners that you'll probably want to partner this with are the ones that care about artifacts. The new ones, there's Rebek, Architect of Ascension. That's the one that gives your artifacts hexproof for the other artifact CMCs that you have.
Yeah,
that one's a little weird.
Glacian Power Stone Engineer, which you can tap untapped artifacts to look at the top X cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. So this is a deck that I think will want to have artifacts in the graveyard that can recur.
Yeah, there's Armix, which is Oh, God, do I have to read this whole thing? Whenever it attacks, you can discard a card. And when you do, target creature defending player controls gets negative X until end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts you control plus the number of artifacts in your graveyard. So that would be green, black, cares about artifacts.
Yep, yep. And then Togo makes rocks. Get the flesh sculpture as well.
And if you can sack those rocks, then you can put a lot of 1/1 counters on stuff.
Although, honestly, just keep adding green to Silas Wren because he cares about artifacts and it's perfect. So
the old part, man, Silas Wren, we've mentioned for like most of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just because like Silas Wren is already pretty good. And if you just add green to it, it gets a little better. Ashai. Why are we saying Ashai? Just because white.
Plus some counters.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. Just another way to get that synergy going. And then Ravel's Soul Tender, if you're, like, again, sacking a lot of things to the graveyard, you want to bring them back.
Poor Ravel's just cost too much mana.
Yeah, poor Ravel's.
We just felt like we wanted to mention somebody besides, you know, Thrasios and stuff.
Thrasios, Timna, Silas.
Tana. All right. We've got four more partner commanders in green to go. But before we get to them, we got to take a quick break. Hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Oakley Doakley, we have returned. That's my Ned Flanders.
Idly ho.
Idly ho.
Oakley Doakley, Oakley Doakley, Oakley Doakley.
And we're talking about green. The evergreen, green. Obviously, green is struggling mighty hard in Commander, and let's see if any of these cards help.
Oh boy, at least one of them is very broken that we still have to go.
We still have to go, but this one is not so much, but
it's still good.
It's still good, yeah. It's the mythic of the set. It's Kamal, Heart of Krosa, 6 green-green for a 5/5 legendary human druid. At the beginning of combat on your turn, creatures you control get +3/+3 and gain trample until end of turn. And you can pay 1 in the green until end of turn. Target land you control becomes a 1/1 elemental creature with vigilance, indestructible, and haste. It's still a land. So play pattern, you play this, you can pay 1 in the green, make your land a 1/1, but then at the beginning of combat, our creatures get +3/+3 and trample. So you also can make lands that are...
So you're basically
are
making 4/4 lands.
4/4 vigilance, indestructible, haste, trample lands, and this has partner.
I mean, it is 8 mana, so you're unlikely to play it in on the same turn,
yeah,
turn your land into a creature, but what you can do is play it and on that same turn attack with whatever creatures you already had out.
Bingo.
Kamal's a... Yeah, you put Craterhoof Behemoth, a lesser Craterhoof Behemoth, but...
In the command zone.
In the command zone, yeah. So it, a lot of times token decks have to have a certain number of effects that are going to pump the whole team, but you don't want too many because you don't want to just draw those and not the token makers, but you don't want too few because you don't want to have, I finally made 25 tokens. If only I had a way to pump them, but I haven't drawn it. Kamal just answers that question. You can just have it in your command zone and know that like whenever at the point I do create enough tokens, I always have access to the pump spell.
Yep.
So that's a good thing about Kamal.
Yeah, and again, if you're pairing him with red, extra attack steps is real nice, obviously.
So good.
So you can play like Morog.
I don't know if it's obvious. Maybe we should explain it.
So at the beginning of combat on your turn, that means every single time you go to combat. It doesn't say at the beginning of the first combat phase of your turn. So if you have something that says, take an extra combat after this one, it's going to see that again and trigger again.
+3/+3 again. The second trample won't matter that much, but the second +3/+3 matters.
Yep.
Yeah, so, Morog.
Theory of Akum.
Yeah. If you watch the most recent episode of Game Nights, you'll know that, well, I don't want to spoil it, but it was a scary moment.
Danger, danger.
Yeah, because if you're going to get +3/+3 on the first attack, then +6/+6 basically on the second, +9/+9 on the third. You see where this is going, and it gives the trample.
Yeah, and Morog actually adds another +1 to that each time.
Oh, that's true.
The landfall. So it's +4, then 8,
then 12, then 16. Then it doesn't matter. You don't have to do the math because everyone's
going to die. Yeah. So again, I think Goreclaw, Terror of Khalsisma, another card that's great in this deck because it makes Kamalo cheaper to cast, and you just have big beastly things in here. Oh, I like this one. Stonebrow Crocin Hero, 3 red and green for a legendary creature, 4/4 with trample. Whenever a creature you control with trample attacks, it gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
Oh, yeah. So and it's at the beginning of combat, they get it, and then you declare the attack, so boom.
+5/+5 and trample with Stonebrow and Kamal out.
And then get an extra combat step, and it's like giving it +10 in the second attack, basically.
Brutal. So, obviously, I think you're going to play this in your token decks that want to have... if you have Craterhoof Behemoth in your deck, this is a card that could easily go in there. It's a nice addition to what we've been given, which is, like, Pathbreaker Ibex, Angelic Field Marshal. These are, like, the world of cards that are similar to Overwhelming Stampede in a lot of ways.
The thing I like about Kamal partially too is that second ability, don't underrate it. So Craterhoof is pretty bad if you don't have a bunch of tokens. Kamal you could just play out and then the next turn be like, all right, I'm going to activate twice, swing in with 2/4/4s. At least you're doing stuff if you're kind of in an attrition-y game where everyone's running low on cards. That happens sometimes. Or at least you can do some things Kamal on its own. I mean, I don't think it's as good as Craterhoof, but also Kamal sits in your command zone, and you know you have access to it, so that gives it, I think, more power.
Craterhoof is just mighty inaccessible these days.
Yeah.
So Kamal, new set, going to be opened a lot. There's a chance here to get it, and I think this is just, again, a great card in the 99 as well, but I liked what you put here, which is turn all of your lands into creatures.
Yeah, so Kamal can look very unscary if you just play Kamal and there's nothing else out, right? And then if on the following turn you say Sylvan Awakening, turn all my lands into 2/2 elemental creatures with reach, indestructible, and haste, then Kamal turns all those things into 5/5s with trample.
Wow.
You could really win in a position where people think you're not scary or it's out of nowhere. And there are a few cards that turn your lands into creatures like that. There's Rude Awakening, and then there's Natural Affinity.
I like Natural Affinity because it's an instant, and it also makes all lands become 2/2 creatures.
To your opponents, too.
So, but if they want to block with their lands, you're trampling over with 5/5s. So.
And usually they've tapped their lands on their turn, so they don't have as many as you have, right?
Yeah.
So I've found that Natural Affinity actually works very good. Also, you can really hose people by turning lands into creatures in response to a board wipe if you have a stronger creature position.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've won games with before where they go, okay, destroy all creatures. And you're like, in response, turn all the lands into creatures.
Yep.
Yeah, and if you could just save, if you just know in that instance one or two of your things is going to live, all of a sudden you can win the game off the back of that.
Yeah, good job, Natural Affinity. So in terms of the partners that this works with, Kamal and Jessica go hand in hand because, boy, that's a lot of damage.
Well, it's brother-sister, right?
Right, and then Kamal becomes an 8/8. Jessica will triple that damage, and that's an 8/8 with trample. That will probably be commander damage in game.
Yeah, Jessica's zero ability is you choose target creature, and until your next turn, that creature, if that creature would deal combat damage to one of your opponents, it deals that It deals triple that damage instead. Remember, with Trample, it's a little bit interesting. So if Kamal was attacking, would turn himself into an 8/8 with Trample. Let's say they have a 2/2 that blocks. That means 6 damage is going to get through, and only that 6 damage is going to be tripled. It's not going to triple against the 2/2 because that's not one of your opponents.
Right.
Still, you do 18.
Yeah, so it's 6 times 3, not 8 times 3.
Yep.
But that's still a lot of damage.
Yep.
And then I think like this works well with Tevish Zot because he makes little 1/1 or thralls that you can then buff up with Kamal.
Nice.
Kaidel for the old partners if you need to ramp Kamal out. And then Bruce Tarl, a token deck, or a Timna token deck, or a Ravos monster deck, or a Tana the Bloats.
Tana makes tokens, so.
You get the idea. You can pair Kamal. I think Kamal and Timna is probably the best, because then you're an Obzon, and Obzon is the token colors. Yeah.
I think Tana could be very, very good, too, because Tana makes a lot of tokens, and Kamal gives you the pump spell that you'll need at the moment
to
you need
win,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tana's already very strong. All right.
Okay.
Let's go on to probably the most broken, right?
Yes, definitely the most broken. There were calls for bans. Yeah, whatever. When Chulainn runs around, I don't care about this as much.
I mean, right? Thrasios exists.
Thrasios, yeah. Okay, Kodama of the East Tree. This is 4 green-green for a 6/6 legendary spirit. So 6 mana, 6/6. It's got reach!
That's Kodama's. Why people wanted to ban it.
Reach.
I got it.
Yay. That's, yeah, I would. It's a reach to ban it, actually. But, all right. Here we go. Here's the interesting text. Whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control, if it wasn't put onto the battlefield with this ability, you may put a permanent card with equal or lesser converted mana cost from your hand onto the battlefield. Okay, so this doesn't just go infinite with anything because it checks, right? So let's say I play a land. It's a permanent entering the battlefield. It wasn't put onto the battlefield with this ability because I just played my land. I may now put a permanent with equal or lesser converted mana cost from my hand on the battlefield. So I can just play another land, but it's not me playing it, it's me putting it out on the battlefield with this ability, and so then it's not going to trigger Kodama.
Yeah. Otherwise, you just play one land, put all your lands out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the fact that the lands let you play another land, that feels like a little bit of a mistake. It feels like it should have said non-token, non-land permanent.
Yep.
The fact that land specifically works so well with this means that it's very, very powerful with anything that puts extra lands into play. So Kodama's Reach.
Yeah, Kodama's Reach Cultivate. And Cultivate will both put the lands you find, both of them, onto the battlefield, which is kind of cool.
Right, because you find one and put one in your hand, but then the one goes into the battlefield, not with Kodama's ability. So it says, hey, you want to put another land out? Yes, I do. Boom.
Yeah.
Or a zero cast cost thing. You could put out any permanent that costs zero.
Yep. Green Sun Zenith is great, again, because it's a tutor that gets a creature on the battlefield. Same thing goes for Finale of Devastation, Natural Order, Turn Timber Symbiosis. When they get that thing on the battlefield, you're going to get to play another thing from your hand.
And usually those are getting huge things out.
Yes. And also, Pattern of Rebirth, it's an enchantment that when you play it, you get to do something, and then when that creature dies, you get a creature, and then you get to do it again, right? So there's just a lot.
And it's a permanent you could put out with Kodama's ability.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? You can play a creature and then put Pattern of Rebirth out, and then sacrifice that, get two things. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do here. Obviously, you know, like we said, Cultivate and Kodama's Reach. If Kodama's Reach didn't work well with Kodama, that would be absurd, obviously.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I saw when I saw this card, and I should say I'm playing this card as one of my partners with Togo in the previous game night. Sorry, it hasn't come out yet for us, but we'll have for you.
Make a rock, play a land.
Yeah, that I really built the deck around Togo. If you watch the episode, it's not built around Kodama much at all, but it's a landfall kind of deck, so I wanted green. And yeah, Kodama says if a token enters the battlefield, you know, a rock token, let's say, then that's a zero cost thing, and you can put something else, another permanent from your hand that costs zero, onto the battlefield. So yeah, make a rock, play a land, which makes another rock that plays a land. So if you have Togo and Kodama out, it's just play all your lands.
Yeah, pretty powerful.
Pretty powerful. I mean, you have to have a lot of card draw because Kodama comes out super late.
Yeah.
And by that point, you've probably played a lot of your lands, but yeah.
Well, the important thing here is that you are trying to find a way to get another permanent onto the battlefield with a landfall trigger, right?
Yes.
And that's what really makes Kodama go off, is because that extra permanent entering is going to trigger Kodama, and it wasn't put there from the thing. So it's like it's one degree of separation. You play a land, you trigger a landfall thing, you create something, and then Kodama goes, hey, you made something.
Do you want to play a land?
Tireless
Tracker would work in the same way.
Yep.
And that's in green, and so you could just put that in with any Kodama deck. Don't have to have Togo.
Yeah, the big combo that has been discussed a lot online is Hour of Promise. It's a 4 and a green sorcery to search your library for up to 2 land cards and put them onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. And then if you control 3 or more deserts, you create 2 black zombie creature tokens. Not as relevant there. But what you're looking to find is Field of the Dead, and then a bounce land. So Field of the Dead enters the battlefield tapped. Whenever Field of the Dead or another land enters the battlefield under your control, if you control seven or more lands with different names, not too hard in Commander, you create a 2/2 black zombie creature token, and then Simic Growth Chamber or any of the bounce lands that your deck can play is a land that enters the battlefield tapped. When it enters the battlefield, return the land you control to its owner's hand. So
these both enter.
These both enter, and then again, you don't need Field of the Dead necessarily. You can also just have a Scoot Swarm in play, which when a land enters the battlefield, you make a 1/1 green insect creature token. So what happens is these lands enter, the Simic Growth Chamber is going to bounce itself, because you can play it and have it bounce itself, and then that's going to trigger Landfall when it gets in the battlefield. You make a 1/1, and then you can play
this, or
a 2/2, and then you can replay the Simic Growth Chamber, and then it's going to make, and then you can bounce it again, and then Kodama's going to see another permanent coming on the battlefield as a 2/2 or a 1/1.
You just stack your triggers.
Keep going, and you can replay the Simic Growth Chamber.
So any bounce land with Kodama becomes play infinite Landfall.
Only if you're able to create something off of the landfall. Create something that lets you put the bounce land back into play. So you need to make a permanent that isn't seen by Kodama. So that's why Field of the Dead, Scoot Swarm all work, is because, and same with Tago, is because there's something that sees the land come into play, and then that card is the one making the thing, not Kodama.
Oh, bounce land can't bounce itself and then play itself in response to the Kodama trigger?
Only if you have infinite landfall triggers.
Because let me just, I want to walk through this because I know a lot of people are probably thinking it.
Wait, you're right.
I play a bounce land. Kodama triggers, bounce land triggers. I stack it so the bounce land triggers on top. I bounce the bounce land. Kodama says, hey, a thing entered the battlefield. Do you want to put another permanent? Yeah, it's a bounce land. Stack the trigger. I think a bounce land by itself, again, could be wrong. New cards. Didn't try and do this in my Tago deck because I was worried about rocks. But I think a bounce land by itself is just infinite landfall triggers with
that
Kodama.
That might work. It
feels like I'm missing something and they would have thought of that. So let us know if I'm incorrect.
Well, I believe actually because the second time you put the bounce land back in, it's with Kodama's trigger.
But it doesn't matter. I'm bouncing my bounce land back to my hand. Oh, and I don't have another... Yes, you're right. I don't... Yeah, you're right. That's where it stops it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why you need... Okay.
Whew. You just need one more card to go next.
That's why you need Field of the Dead. And Hour of the Promise gets both cards on the battlefield.
Yeah, which is why it's so nuts, is that you can get it out with just that 5 CMC spell.
It's not an instant win because you would need haste or something, right? Or you have to do that in instant speed.
You need to do something like Impact Tremors to every single time the creature enters, it does something.
So you need one more piece. Yeah. And a 3-card combo is not as scary as a 2-card, even if it includes your commander.
Okay. Moloku as well is a 1-mana to return the land you control to its owner's hand, and then you create a 1/1 blue illusion creature token. So that you could do, right?
Replay them.
Pay one, but then
you're and the land will come in untapped, which can pay the mana to return itself, basically, and make the 1/1. Oh, so that's infinite. All right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to definitely go nuts with this here.
Yeah, I would say that Kodama, just in general, is clearly a combo-tastic type card, right? There's just going to be a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And whatever one's the most efficient will be the best, but there's going to be a lot of ways. The way that this ability is worded is just like crazy.
Yeah, so ways that you can go infinite. Spitfire Lagok does damage to each opponent. Tatiova can draw cards and draw your entire deck out if you want. Morog, Fury of Akum, Ruin Hedron Crab can mill people. Infinite attacks, Valakut Exploration, Retreat to Hagra are just both ways to just do a bunch of damage. If you have a Lotus Cobra or an Amulet of Vigor, then you can stack the triggers in such a way that you're actually gaining mana every single time you play that bounce land, right?
Yep.
So I don't know, pair it with Thrasios.
Pair it with Thrasios so you can use the infinite mana to win the game with Thrasios. Yeah. I think this is on a more fair...
let's take it back a notch.
We get yelled at for like talking about combos, but we like to see what the top power for something is. That's where our brain wants to go. That doesn't mean we're telling everybody play combos all the time. It's just like, it's good to know that at the most powerful, this is what it can do. You don't have to do that stuff.
Well, also, if you're playing against it, you should know that you might be facing a win, right?
Yeah, just know what the pieces might be so that you know what it is.
Threat assessment.
But I think in general, Kodama is just very good with anything that consistently makes tokens, right? So like Smothering Tithe.
Again,
How good is that? Because every time they draw a card and you get a treasure, you can put a land into play. Mm-hmm. So Smothering Tithe becomes burgeoning, kind of, right? Plus Smothering Tithe, right? It's like Hole Breacher is one of the new cards that creates a ton of treasures that can put a bunch of lands in. So imagine you Hole Breacher somebody, they don't draw the cards, and you put like 4 lands into play. Insanity. Bitter Blossom.
Every single turn, you get to
just
play
becomes Exploration
lands.
Plus Bitter Blossom, right? Like it's just anything that creates... consistently creates tokens is just very good with Kodama because you're going to have so many lands to play out. I think the one thing that keeps a little bit in check is the fact that it is 6 CMC, so by the time you get to it, I've found that it's...
Right.
You don't have a ton of lands in your hand, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I didn't build my deck to take advantage of that, though, so I think if you did, you could
So obviously the new partners you could pair with Kodama, Tago, you're making a lot of things. I actually really like Sakashima of 1,000 Faces, which comes in as a copy, and then the legend role doesn't apply, so you can just have it copy Kodama, and now you're I don't know what it is, how it works out exactly, but you're guaranteed to go infinite with almost anything, I feel like. Because now you have two Kodamas that can both do the same thing, and they're just gonna, it's just gonna be trigger mayhem. Livio as well, because it's a flicker deck, right?
And this is when permanents enter the battlefield, so if you flicker stuff, it will get you the free stuff out of your hand on the battlefield.
Yep. And then for the old partners, Thrasios is shy if you want to go for the full Bant package, because then you can have Yorion, Brago, and all that stuff in the Bant colors, and that's the flicker way to go.
Okay, do we have time for a quick story? I just want to tell it's a quick story.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so when we play tested these cards a couple years ago, we've talked about how Wizards asked us to help him out.
I wasn't there, unfortunately.
Yeah, you were. Unfortunately, he was filming Mulan.
I was in New Zealand.
Yeah, he was otherwise occupied. Yeah. And we were getting to play around with Commander Legend cards in late 2018 and just give some feedback. We only did this for a few weeks. I don't want to take any credit for anything that happened with the set. We had just a little sliver of input at one point that hopefully helped them a little bit. Anyway, Kodama used to have some text, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was something like, all your lands have every basic land type.
Oh, gosh.
And that was it. That's what Kodama did.
Oh, okay.
So I never saw this version of the card until a few weeks ago when we got them for game nights, and they totally changed it. And so that deck, I actually built that Kodama deck when it said the old text, and that was basically like, if you get a fetch land, you can fetch for another fetch land with it. So you just try and get a couple fetch lands out, give Valakut out, and just fetch for all your lands like, in a row. I fetch this, which gets a fetch, which I fetch, which
and
gets
they're
a
all mountains.
And then it's like every time it's doing damage. Yeah, that was my deck idea, and it was pretty cool. Yeah.
It's like Dryad of the Elysian Grove, but as a commander, right?
Yeah. And I told them, I was like, that's the deck I built, and it's pretty cool. And I think they thought that I was like, it's cool, but after you do it one time, it's kind of like that's all the deck does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One cannon.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they changed it. I don't know. Probably fetch it had nothing to do with what I said, honestly. And they, you know, they used their huge game designer brains and said, let's we can come up with something else. Better than that. Yeah,
I don't think this card needs to be banned. It's a 6-mana card. It's, again, we have so many other insane cards in the format that this does not going to break it. It is cool to see it as a
very
partner.
Powerful.
It is very powerful.
It just doesn't feel like it's Urza powerful.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We got two to go.
Moving on. Numa, yay. Da, da, da. It's okay. Numa, Jiraga, Chieftain. 2 and a green for an elf warrior, 2/2. At the beginning of combat on your turn, you may pay XX. When you do, distribute X +1/+1 counters among any number of target elves.
Elves.
Partner. So you go to combat, you pay 2 mana, you can put 1 +1/+1 counter on any target elves. 4 mana, put 2. 6 mana, put 3, etc., etc.
So elf tribal.
Elf tribal. Notably, in Commander Legends, both Imperious Perfect and Immaculate Magistrate are getting reprints, and these are cards that put +1/+1 counters or make tokens, so they synergize really well with Numa.
Let me interest you in some cards here.
Okay,
let's talk Hardened Scales, maybe.
Nice.
Yeah, let me think about it. Maybe Winding Constrictor if you're in black.
Nice, nice.
All the +1/+1 counter stuff that we always talk about there. Branching Evolution, I know it's expensive. Hopefully, they'll reprint Jumpstart, but
they better.
Just want EDH Rec, put Hardened Scales in and all the cards that go in that deck and also say Elf.
I was going to literally say that, yeah. Or go to Elf Tribal and see what synergizes. Gyre Sage, though, if you don't want to, you know, do what we said and just listen to us instead, because you can tap it to add +1/+1 or add green for each +1/+1 counter on Gyre Sage, and it has evolved, so it'll slowly get bigger, but Numa can just sort of pump it up.
Bam, so you pump it up and then you use it for the mana to pump it up even more later.
Yeah, pump up the jams. Marwyn the Nurturer, whenever another elf enters the battlefield under control, you put the +1/+1 counter on Marwyn, and then you can tap it to add the amount of green equal to Marwyn's power. Very similar, so both great things. I think you want to play Elvish Champion more. I love this card. Other elves get +1/+1 and they have Forest Walk. Most people are playing forests.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
I think, like, in general.
It's so basically, like making your creatures unblockable against, like, half the table, at least.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, sometimes, and if also this means that you knock out the green player first. That's a good thing, right?
It can come out of nowhere, too. Cast it, attack.
Yeah. I think this might go in the 99 of our good friend, Abomination of Llanowar. Is just like a...
Since when are we good friends with the Abomination of Llanowar? Look at that thing. I don't want to be friends with it.
Yeah, sure. It actually is absolutely horrific. Yeah. That front face is just staring directly at you, right? The art is like, why is the art staring at me? Does it know the art's painting it? I was so glad
no one played it in game night so we didn't have to animate it.
Yeah.
I'd have nightmares about it.
I'll have to ask Sam how he would do it. And then I think Oboon as well works really well because it has landfall and it's in Naya and it's an elf.
Oh, it's an elf. I didn't realize.
And when
that.
It adds a when it lands the battlefield, you play +1/+1 counter on target creature. So you can find +1/+1 synergies. You can do some elf stuff. Yay.
Okay, old partners. Timna, Kaidel, Thrasios. Okay.
Tana.
All the ones we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Seems good with Tana. just because her power matters.
Yep, yep, yep.
All right, let's go to the very last green partner from Commander Legends.
Reminds me of how excited I am for lunch today.
It's Slork, all in jesting. It's a legendary ooze for 5 and a green. It's a 0/0, but it enters the battlefield with 5+1/+1 counters on it.
Okay.
Whenever Slork or another creature you control dies, if it had a 1/1 counter on it, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control that has a 1/1 counter on it.
Oh.
So 1/1+1/+1 tribal.
Okay. Ooze tribal, maybe.
Maybe. It doesn't actually care if any of the creatures are oozes or not. So I don't think it's... It doesn't have to be ooze tribal. Obviously, yeah, oozes do care about +1/+1 counters, so they might go in this deck.
I don't know if oozes care about being oozes.
No, in general, I don't think we've had an ooze lord or anything that... Not a legendary.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is going to... First of all, let's
oh,
say...
Oh, wait, we have... Sorry, Mimeoplasm, we will mention, is an ooze.
Oh.
It's not typically an ooze deck, though.
Doesn't care about... Yeah, that's what I mean. There's no legendary ooze lord.
Yeah.
This is just a legendary ooze that... Yeah, it's going to have the hardened scales and stuff that we talked about already, right? Cares about 1/1 counters, so that's going
to
be a thing.
If you're down to get oozy with it, Biogenic Ooze, when it enters the battlefield, you make a 2/2 green ooze. At the beginning of your end step, you put a +1/+1 counter on each ooze you control, so that's a great way to just get Slork going. You can also pay 4 mana with the Biogenic Ooze to make more oozes.
Getting oozy with it. Na 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 na. That's the song.
Slork! Ravenous Slime as well gets +1/+1 counters. This cares when opponent's creatures die, so it could just get really big that way. Scavenging Ooze is a card that I think everyone should be playing no matter what if you're in
Graveyard Hate.
It's so good, and it gets +1/+1 counters as well. Now, there are ways to go infinite with Slork, obviously, but the main thing is getting a creature with +1/+1 counters on it. Path of Discovery, I think this card's super underrated. It's 3 and a green for an enchantment. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, it explores. So you reveal the top card of your library. You can put that card into your hand if it's a land. Otherwise, put a +1/+1 counter on the creature, and then you can put the card back on top or into your graveyard. And then you have a card like Animation Module. It's a 1-mana artifact. Whenever one or more 1+1/+1 counters are put on the permanent, you may pay 1. If you do, create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token. And then you have Renata. So if you have Renata out, it's a green card that each other creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it. You're going to make little Animation Module cards with it, make little 1/1s, and then you can stack those 1/1s to a Phyrexian or an Astronaut's Altar and just keep it going over and over again and keep making more creatures that come in the battlefield with 1/1 counters. Then you can stack them for more stuff, and it just keeps the thing going, and you get the mana from the Phyrexian Altar. If you're doing one, you go infinite mana with Astronaut's Altar. Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah, 4 cards. Good luck. Magical Christmas Land called
in general, and their combo back. In general, these +1/+1 counter decks are going to like assemble 4 to 5 different things, and you're going to be like, look at all the things I can do, and probably not win, but boy, I made a lot of oozes or whatever it is.
I hope you're good at math, because it just seems like there's going to be a lot of like, okay, this dies. And
yeah,
I put
there's
one,
a reason
one,
I don't
one,
play
one.
This deck.
There's a lot of accounting.
It's a headache, yeah.
But it probably could be okay as a stompy deck. It's another sort of slightly different angle on a +1/+1 counter deck. Not super exciting.
Yeah. I think you play this in the Hamza Guardian of Irashin deck, which is a green white +1/+1 counters matters deck where the Hamza himself casts 1 less to cast for each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter, and creature spells you cast cost 1 less to cast for each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter. So Slork seems
they
like
both
a
want
really
the same
good
thing.
Yeah, like a good top end sort of finisher there. Hey Josh, you can finally make your Mazurik Kral Death Priest deck work.
No, I don't think this card makes it work. But they do sort of want the same thing.
Yeah.
They want to sacrifice things and give 1/1 counters, I guess.
Okay, nice, nice. Kresh the Bloodbraided. Craig, where are you at? Craig loves this deck. Whenever another creature dies, you may put +1/+1 counters on Kresh, where X is that creature's power. And then, of course, Gave or Gabe, Guru or Spores cares about making things and putting +1/+1 counters on things.
All right. For new partners, you might want to partner this up with. Livio is probably one of them. You probably want white to make tokens, and that's also another +1/+1 counters
totally.
Color. Gives you access to like Cathar's Crusade and some other things too.
Rayhan is your perfect combo with this because it cares about +1/+1 counters.
Oh, whenever it dies, you move the get to keep the counters kind of.
Do lose access to a color though because you're sharing green there. So maybe you want to do a Livio or something else with Rayhan just to make it the full Abzan.
Well, Livio doesn't make it Abzan, it makes it Celestia.
Oh,
that's
Celestia.
The problem.
Sorry.
So actually like Rayhan gives the same amount of colors that like another mono color would give. So you still get an additional color out of it, but you don't get 2, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So you're trying to find a way to make it Abzan, I think, in general for these colors, and just throw Slark in the deck. I don't think he's necessarily the best Azure commander here.
All right.
Okay.
That is all of the new partner commanders in green from Commander Legends. We've still got blue and black coming up, but to the listeners, what do you think of all these green partners? Are there any cool combos or synergies, interactions that you thought we missed? Which one of these are you most excited about and why?
Yeah, find me more ways to go infinite with Kodama.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something that's really goofy out there. I want to see like a six card combo that just doesn't do anything but spins its wheels.
All right. Good luck to everybody in the comments for that. If you want to get your hands on Kodama or any of the other legendary creatures or any card at all from Commander Legends or any card in the history of Magic, go to cardkingdom.com/command zone. They really are the best place to get your Magic singles, product, anything at all, because they have the best service. Mm-hmm. They're the fastest to ship you stuff. And when you use that affiliate link, cardkingdom.com/command zone, you are simultaneously getting the Magic cards that you're going to get anyway and supporting game nights, extra turns, our roundtable episodes, mm-hmm. this podcast, everything we do.
And I can't stress this enough. Card Kingdom has a great buyback system. If you have just old cards lying around that you're never going to play and you don't want to like donate them to a YMCA or something, just send them into Card Kingdom. They'll grade all of them. They'll let you know how much you can get for just pure cash or store credit, which gives you more. And then you can reinvest the cards that you have to gain the cards you want.
Turn like those standard cards that aren't good in Commander into Commander cards that you need. I guarantee you have a ton of them sitting in your box that you're not using that could be Commander staples or Commander cards that you want.
Yeah, and I think this is just a great way, again, to get into the format without having to make it as such a financial burden, especially as we come into the holiday season. People are, you know, we're busy buying gifts and, you know, travel and all that stuff as well. So I think this is just a great way, again, to recycle, reuse, and play more Magic.
And you know what would be a really awesome gift for your friends and family if they're into Magic is some really cool sleeves, really uh-huh. cool deck boxes, really cool play mats from Ultra Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the coolest things is having a deck that's all themed, right? So you've got the deck box, the sleeves, the playmats, and pulling it out. And this is the time to do it because a brand new set just came out. So you can choose one of the new commanders that you know they're into and mm-hmm. really get them all the stuff that's themed around that. It's like getting a full outfit, which, you know,
yeah,
if you're someone like me who's not super into fashion, like it's really nice when somebody does that for you.
Yeah, it's cool to have a sense of unity too. And it's a perfect thing to do with the pre-cons because they're definitely going to make product for that. But yeah, Ultra Pro, it's a great way to protect your cards. You're going to want to protect the cards no matter what. So we always recommend just going straight to Ultra Pro first. They got the best prices as well as the most guaranteed best product because they've been doing it for so long, you're not going to run into production issues. I remember for a long time before we were sponsored by Ultra Pro, I personally sponsored another company because I was like, I love this company's stuff.
And then all of a sudden their stuff just got way worse.
Yeah. Where they manufactured that, a lot of things happened and they didn't inform their customers. So there is a reason that we trust Ultra Pros, consistency and quality.
All right, no end step today because we're doing so many episodes. We just don't have that many cool things in our lives. But we do have a really cool team working here at the Command Zone. And they are Manson Lung, Ashlyn Rose, Craig Blanchett, Lady Danger, Jake Boss, Josh Murphy, Alfred Staka, Patrick Non, Sam Waldo. And we have a new guy helping us out, Arthur Meadowcroft.
Sounds like a book author.
His name's Arthur.
Yeah, yeah.
He is somewhat of a writer, so you know he's going to be helping us out in a lot of different ways. Thanks, Arthur. Welcome to the team.
And big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Card animations that live behind us here on set. You can find him on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
We'll see you for more set reviews.
Very, very soon. If this is around Thanksgiving time and you're in the U.S., I hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving.
And a safe one as well.
Please be safe.
Yes, please, please, please be safe. Everyone take care.
All right. Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.